Amen. We meet tonight, we gather together tonight, all of us together, not alone, but with brothers and sisters in Christ, the church, all around the world. And it may be happening at different times of this day, but still all around the world, Christians gather together. And not just in buildings like this, but even in their homes, even in their workplaces, all around the world, Christians gather together tonight to remember His great sacrifice. And who is Him? Who is His? But the Lord God, Jesus Christ, the Son. This is what we are here tonight for. Remember His great love. We remember that although He had to die, it was not for no reason, it was for a reason. And although you may not always believe it, it is for a significant reason for God. And what is that significant reason for God? It's you. It's me. It's love, His love for all humanity. God loved us. God still loves us. Each and every single one of us He desires to have a relationship with. It is for this reason that Christ's body was broken and pierced, His blood shed to reverse the curse forever of sin, providing a new way to salvation, a salvation that would last forever. As we remember this tonight, I want to remind you of an old song, a familiar hymn. In fact, I almost called Larry Foster up here to sing it with me, but I'll read the words. Larry, feel free to sing if you like. The lyrics to the old rugged cross go like this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Thank you, Larry. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. What beautiful words, and these words remind us that we should look to the cross tonight and every night, every single day of our lives, but not just in sadness, not just in despair, but by remembering why it was necessary and why it is good. Why is Good Friday good? What do we remember tonight of that day and every day of our lives? That's what we'll be talking about tonight. And to start this, I want to read from Mark 15, 33 to 39. In Mark, we read this, "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders hearing it said, 'Behold, he is calling Elijah.' And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down.' And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God. Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" Of God. Continuing in the thought of the final moments of Jesus Christ, I want to read from John 19, 28 to 30, where we read, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, 'To fulfill the scriptures, I thirst.' And a jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." So why is Good Friday good? I mean, after all, we remember, as we just read and as we spoke, we remember the body of Jesus hanging on a cross, suffering, dying, hungry for food, thirsting for drink, being tortured, whipped, flogged. We remember his body shattered, blasphemy and taunts, mockery all around him, curses to him, and his body on display. Mark 10:34 speaks of this and tells us, they will mock him and spit him out, whip him and kill him. And that surely is exactly what they did. So how could this day of remembrance be good? You saw the video we showed as we started this service, this message, and it showed different pictures of Good Friday, different pictures of Jesus on this day or coming up to this moment. And it said messages like, how could this be good? This is not good. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, disciples, his followers, his friends, falling asleep all around him. And one of his own betraying him, leading to his arrest, a kiss on the cheek. Remember Jesus shedding tears of blood. And as he pleaded with God the Father, asking if there was another way, asking to take this task away, he continued on with his mission. He, Jesus, continued on to the cross. For that cross and what would come from that cross would be good. Jesus' closest disciples would deny him in these final moments. We deny Christ. We betray Christ often in our life. And yet we see Jesus in these moments still in his control, voluntarily still carries on and goes and does what needs to be done. Why is Good Friday good? Why do we celebrate now all of this? Why do we look at the cross, the old rugged cross? Why do we wear clothing and necklaces and jewelry depicting Jesus on a cross? Why do we have this torturous death device all around us? Was it all right? Is it all right today? No, it's not good what happened to Jesus, but it is good when we think of why. It is good when we think of what came from it. It was not a selfish act. It was a selfless act, and it was all for love. His great love for humanity. God's great love for us. The greatest sacrifice, that's Jesus. And that's the cross that he was hung on. And it was all for love. Good Friday is good. Hear me now. Good Friday is good. Because it's all about the love of God for you, for me, and for all of humanity. That's your friends, that's your coworkers, that's everyone, even your worst enemy. God loves them and desires a relationship with them. But we know not all will come. But we do know Good Friday is good because it's God's love for humanity, for his creation. Romans 5:8 reminds us, for yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we cannot and should not say that anyone is too far gone for God, because we were too far gone in our own minds at that moment, for all were sinners and all still are sinners. But by the grace of God, by God's great love, he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for us. In this act of selfless love, we also see prophecies and needs fulfilled. What great truth is heard in that? His body and blood are the new and last, the final lamb of Passover to save us from sin forever. Eternally, our sins can be washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ. The curse forever removed. Good Friday is good because it brings the possibilities of life, hope, and peace into our lives. And our lives may forever be changed by the accomplishment of Christ that day and the days that came forward. You see, we needed the cross. We needed Jesus. Good Friday is good, for he did what needed to be done. But more than this, Good Friday is good because Sunday was coming. That's the second part of Mark 10:34. It says that 3 days later, he will rise. And in this we see Good Friday is good because Jesus is victorious. You see, the cross, Jesus' torturous death, it was not a failure. It was a success. It was an accomplishment. Jesus is victorious to the cross. Jesus is victorious over our sins and victorious over death. And he is risen, risen indeed. Death could not hold him. He's not in bondage. And because of his life laid down for us and risen again, we're not in bondage either. All those who trust in Jesus are freed. Today we know that this day, we remember, we know Good Friday is good because we have his great love forever. We know the good news. We know the gospel. We know it's Good Friday because the greatest man in human history which ever walked this earth had the greatest sacrifice also. It was his life, and it was for you, and it was for me. And this is good news. Amen. But I want you to see it doesn't end here. Again, 3 days later, he would rise. He is risen, risen indeed. But before we even get there, I want you to see this news. In this scripture we read tonight multiple times, we read it say, him say, it is finished. We read it say that he laid down his life. He gave up his spirit. Him voluntarily gave it up on his own accord. His life was in his own hands. He gave it up voluntarily for us. And in this, he said, it is finished. In this news, in these words, in this statement, this powerful statement, we see the full punishment of our sins. God's wrath for our sins was taken upon Jesus. He is the substitute for us. He is the atonement. He is the propitiation of our sins. It is finished. And in this, we think of what was finished, completed. Finished were the sufferings of Christ, yes. But also finished was the strength or dominion of Satan. Completed, finished were the sufferings for salvation, our sacrifices for salvation. Finished was sin's control over us. And finished was our separation from God. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that he himself carried our sins in his body upon that tree, that we may die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. We have been saved. God always completes his work. His plans always come to be. He is sovereign and in control. And even in the worst of times and the worst of things, the worst of circumstances, his glory will come and the goodness of his people will come also. In the end, we know that all things will come together for his goodness. In the end, we know there will be a new heaven, a new earth for all his people. This is good news to celebrate. But still today, we are a bit sad. You should be. As we think of just how far God had to go to save us. But not just that, I'm still saddened this day as I also think of all the people that we try to help on a daily basis, all the people that God sends Jesus or sent Jesus for that will not accept him as Lord. And more than this, I'm saddened, and you too should be, of all the people who claim to have Jesus as Lord, but they do not follow him, live for him in his righteousness like they claim to. They're not living the right life. And because of this, they may be spit out. We must live for Christ, for he lived and died for you. Jesus' mission was a mission of God, a war against sin, a war in our names, and nothing got into his path of victory. Good Friday is good because we needed a Savior, and God provided us with one. Will you remember this? Will you live for him? Will you glorify his name? We needed someone to intervene and take our punishment for our sin. And that's what God did through Jesus. Isaiah 53:5-7 speaks of what our Savior would be for us, what he did. And it says, but he was pierced by our transgressions. He was crushed by our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we're healed. All of us, like the sheep, have strayed. Each of us have gone into our way. And the Lord was put upon him the wickedness of all of us. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was brought like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers were swimming, so he did not open his mouth. As I said, we, like many other brothers and sisters in Christ, come together today to remember Christ's great sacrifice. This is Good Friday. for we have his great love. But in order to truly have this great love and live in the bountiful blessings of it, we must still accept Christ. And then if you've accepted Christ, we must share Christ. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, even in knowing this, that all have fallen short of the glory of God, all are sinners, we know that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, that all who believe in him may be saved for all eternity. The Son of God lived and died and would rise for us. His name is Jesus. So I ask you, are you living for him? Are you remembering these great truths wherever you walk? Who will choose to accept his great sacrifice? Who will you tell of his great sacrifice? Who will remember his great sacrifice and his great love? Who will follow him as Lord, the type of Lord he's meant to be? Who will appreciate God's love as good tonight? You see, like Christ that night, that day, who proclaimed that he thirsted, we thirst also. We're thirsty for something this world cannot provide. As Psalm 42:2 says, my soul thirsts for God. Our soul thirsts for the living God. And as Psalm 42:6 proclaims, my soul is cast into me. Therefore, I remember you. Every day we thirst for more, and nothing of this world, nothing of this earth can provide but God. We need God. So I beg you, remember Good Friday. Remember what we're about to do with communion, remembering his body, his blood, the new faith we have, the new love we have to live for. For now, we live for eternity with God, and we proclaim this forevermore. Let me close in prayer, and then we'll have a short video as we transition to communion. Please bow your heads. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for you sent Jesus to die for us, so that we might know your love, but not just know your love, experience your love, and to be welcomed into your loving arms, per se, for all eternity. All those who confess Jesus as Lord and live for you can have salvation from sin and live forevermore with the hope of your heaven and new earth in sight. We pray, Lord, that we would remember the good things of Jesus and of your love, his great sacrifice and your love, forevermore. And it's in your holy and powerful name we pray. All God's people said, amen.